Welcome, everyone, to this interview. And today we're joined by an extraordinary individual. He's an author, and he's been sounding the alarm over the rise of the Orwellian technocratic surveillance state and much more for many years. His name is Patrick Wood. He's the author of a couple of books. One of them is Technocracy Rising. His website is technocracy.news, and he joins us today to talk about all the evidence of what's happening that he's been warning about and where this is going and maybe how we can stop it. So, Patrick Wood, welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you on, sir.
Good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. And also, I should tell you, we are now indexing your website's stories on censored.news as well. So that's a site that people go to for headlines, and technocracy.news is included there now. So give us a quick background, kind of an overview. What do you mean by technocracy, just for those who maybe aren't well read on this subject?
You betcha. Technocracy is a historical movement that dates back to the 1930s. And a number of scientists and engineers at Columbia University, well, places, decided that they would build a brand new, or architect a brand new economic system that the world had never seen before in order to replace capitalism and free market economics, which they were certain was dead. It was the Great Depression. And they thought, well, it's over, it's curtain. So they rose up and said, we're going to do something better. And I won't say they said, we're going to build back better, but that's kind of what the theme was, right? Yes. They were going to make a new economic system. And it was a resource-based economic system. It looks a lot like sustainable development does today, which is also a resource-based economic system. But, you know, engineers run factories with great precision, but society is not a factory, nor are people the gears in the factory, the belts and whatever. And so they realized people were very unpredictable and difficult to control. So they majored also in what they called the science of social engineering, trying to get people to behave and do what they wanted to do in this great grand utopian system that they created. So that's kind of where this thing got a start. But fast forward, today it's being played out with incredible detail. And it's not looking like it's going to turn out very good. Of course, people knew that back in the 30s and 40s too. That's why they rejected it back then. But it's back, and here we are.
Well, what is surprising to many people, I think, as they're observing this, that people are becoming more and more aware of the engineering of events. Even, for example, just looking at COVID, the so-called plandemic. You know, yes. The fact that that word became a common use term, you know, really implies that people realize this was a plan. And then, of course, it was simulated in the SPARS epidemic plans. And there were other simulations that have turned out to come true. It's a lot of people get the feeling, I've even used this description, that we're living in a kind of a giant Truman Show world where everything is staged. To what extent is that accurate in your view?
I think it is. I declared back in 2015 war on technocracy because I saw where it was going. And when 2020 hit, there was no doubt. I believe that was a coup d'etat that they pulled out all the stops to not only get rid of capitalism, but to bring in their resource-based economic system. What we're facing today is what I call an asymmetric strategy warfare against the world. It's not just America, it's the whole planet. And there are a number of crises that are all manufactured that are working together right now in a perfect storm, just to rip the world apart. We have the pandemic, of course, of 2020. We have a propaganda campaign. Well, I've never seen the likes of it in my life before. We have this biological attack going on with the shots and stuff. These RNA shots. We have economic destruction that is just unprecedented right now. We have an energy crisis. This was a big deal because energy is the heartbeat of technocracy. They want to control all energy. Yes. We have a food crisis at the same time and a financial crisis. And all of these things, Mike, are engineered, every single one of them.
Well, what's extraordinary?
You just look at them individually.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to interrupt, but just take the food crisis that you mentioned, for instance. It's so blatantly obvious that
yes,
the powers that be are dismantling the food infrastructure, for example, in the Netherlands.
Yes.
They then suddenly
yes.
claim, well, nitrogen is bad for the world out of the blue.
Yes.
And you have to cull 80% of your cattle now. It's just, it's right in your face now.
It is. And the thing that ties all these together is the same people behind every one of these crises.
Right.
That proves my point that we're at war. These people are prosecuting a war against us, and they're using all these different methods of attack to wear us down, to break us, or whatever, maybe to kill us too. A lot of people are dying, actually. There's a lot of dead bodies around now. But all of these crises are manufactured, and they're working together for a common purpose, and that is to flip us into this new system that they're trying to create that they call a sustainable development, but it's really warmed over technocracy from the 1930s. And, you know, it will result ultimately in a scientific dictatorship, no doubt about that in my mind. It'll be the world run by algorithm, and the policies will be set by them.
Well, and so many of these policies are infuriatingly contradictory. For example, California bans the sale of new combustion engine vehicles starting in the year 2035. And then the very next week, they say, oh, and by the way, you can't charge your electric vehicles right now between 4 and 9 p.m. because the power grid can't handle it. And a lot of us observers are thinking, well, not very many people even own EVs yet in California. What happens when everybody owns them? The grid won't function. So they give you no option for transportation, frankly.
That's right. And, you know, there's conflicts like that all over the world right now. All of the alternative energy, of course, has been sold to people with great vigor. And, oh, it's going to change the world. It's going to be wonderful. You see, in Europe right now, which, of course, is facing total disaster with their energy shortages that they have, they've realized all of a sudden they've had this miraculous understanding. Oh, gee, maybe we need to reactivate our nuclear plants. Maybe we need to, you know, get back and do some more drilling and stuff and not rely on all these windmills and solar panels as much. And so, and get coal going again, especially. Yeah, get the coal mines going. And so, you know, you see this flip-flop going on when reality meets this nonsense of sustainable development and global warming and the, you know, environmental extremists. When reality meets this whole thing, people say, gee, I guess, you know, I don't want to die. I guess we just better kind of, you know, give up on this stuff for a while and do what we know works. And there's total contradiction everywhere you look on this stuff. But I'll say again, all of these crises are engineered. And they're engineered with intent and engineered with a purpose. And that is just to crush the economic system. And I probably should say one other thing just to kind of balance this out. And that is when this whole thing, modern technocracy, started back in the early 1970s, the goal was a resource grab. That, in the very simplest terms, it was a giant resource grab to grab all of the resources of the world, basically, regardless of monetary system, get control of the assets of the, you know, the land, basically, the forest, the mines, the oil, energy, and the farms and everything else. They wanted control over all the physical assets of the world, because if you own those things, it doesn't matter what kind of monetary system's on top of it.
Right.
People will come and beg you for it. This has kind of been likened to like neo-feudalism, you know?
Well, then what's your take on then the situation with Russia? Because Russia right now sits on an estimated 1/3 of all the world's natural resources, including extraordinary energy supplies and minerals. And you have, you know, these Western nations trying to dismantle their own energy infrastructure and doing it quite successfully. And then I saw the Prime Minister of Belgium come out the other day warning the people, his own people, that, oh, you'll only have to endure cold winters for 5 to 10 years, as if that were good news. And yet Russia has a commanding dominance over the commodities and the energy that people, that the world needs. Yeah. And it's just, it's like, how are we winning again? Please remind me, how are we winning?
Yeah. I know Russia's sitting very nice right now. They have plenty of energy. They have plenty of food, and they're just holding on to it. Actually, it's kind of ironic. They're selling some of it to China. China's turning around and bringing it back and selling it to Europe.
Yes, I saw that. at a markup, of course.
At a great markup, I know. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so we have energy laundering, than on the planet. And India is doing that too. India buys natural gas from Russia, ships it to the European Union. So the Europeans are paying insane prices. You've probably seen some of this online, but there are photos circulating of, for example, a small cafe, I think in France, posting their electric bill for just 2 months, about $10,000 US equivalent for electricity.
Yes. Europe is, the middle class in Europe is going to be decimated by the end of the season this winter. They're literally going to be decimated. I don't know how they're going to cope with it, but it's going to push them back into the dark ages. And it's going to get very ugly. It's going to be a lot of bankruptcies. There's going to be a lot of nationalizations of industry by the governments trying to, you know, do something for their country. But it's going to be a complete train wreck in Europe before this is done. And we're probably not far behind ourselves.
I agree with you. I think your assessment's correct, Patrick. But my question on this is, so far, the European people, at least the mainstream masses in Europe, they still don't realize that this was done to them. They think this is all Putin's fault. So they can double down on stupid and say, well, we're freezing because of Putin. Or even they take pride in it. Like, oh, we've turned our thermostats down 5 more degrees to make Putin feel the pain. I've heard that. And I think that makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. You know, it's almost like something like the Stockholm syndrome is working with some of these people.
Yeah,
they feel like they're being punished, but maybe they're being punished righteously because they were so bad for so many generations. Honestly, I can't explain it, some of it, any other way. But, you know, they have been brainwashed over a period of time to think that this whole sustainable development stuff is, you know, God's gift to the world. And it's going to be utopia if they could just get over the hump and get it, implemented. Everything's going to be good. But that's not the way it is. The grass is not greener on the other side of the hill. It's plastic grass. and they're finding that out. There's no enjoyment. There's no future on that side of the hill.
Is there any point where the lessons are learned? And that, I mean, that's the very disturbing thing to me. Even let's talk about finance for a second. So endless money printing, but causing inflation, but they cite MMT and they say, well, the inflation must be coming from Putin because it couldn't be coming from printing money. So they always have these parallel false narratives, and a lot of people believe them.
Yes.
Maybe most, maybe half.
Yes, they did. you remember probably when George Bush Sr. Stood up in front of the United Nations and talked about the new world order.
Sure.
And he said, and we will implement it. What very few people really see, and understanding technocracy is key to this. This has been written about by scholars like Zbigniew Brzezinski, by the way.
Yes.
But you have the age that we're in right now, which is kind of an interim age of globalization. And I've studied this globalization for 45 years. I know it very well. I know all the ins and outs of it and stuff. But this era of globalization that we have known, that you and I have known, maybe just go back 20 years, that new world order is gone. It's going to be gone, if you put it that way. The actual end result of, you know, the final world order is still ahead of us. So in order to get there, this existing world order has to be destroyed. And that includes everything that we've been, you know, held near and dear, like the currencies and the banking system and, you know, the way energy's been used, the way industry's been worked and so on.
Free markets, the constitution, all that.
That's right. This current world is going to be, you know, figuratively speaking, incinerated, so that the new fourth industrial revolution can come forth. And that's exactly why somebody like Klaus Schwab says, we're going to build back better. Well, and of course, all of the leaders of the world repeated that about 80,000 times, right?
Right.
We're going to build back better. Well, a five-year-old child knows the only way you build back anything is if something was first destroyed. You don't build back better on top of a house that already exists. You build back better on a house that got burned to the ground. Maybe the foundation is left and we're going to build back better. But this scorched earth policy that these lunatics are waging against humanity right now is going to take, the risk is it's going to take humanity right down to the ground. And then the technocrat elite will step in and say, we can fix this for you. at a price.
Sure.
But, and people will welcome them with open arms.
Well, that's the question. How successful do you think that effort will be on the part of the globalists? And, you know, humanity, at least through COVID, we watched incredible obedience that was irrational. There are people who still wear masks, by the way, and there are jurisdictions that still demand them. In China, they were doing PCR COVID testing of seafood, like fresh prawns caught out of the ocean. It's a cult. It's just pure insanity. But that seems to be the dominant obedience training of the oblivious masses. So what's your take on where do we stand a chance against this?
Well, recognition would be the resistance point of inflection. There has to be recognition of who the enemy really is. This technocrat cartel, if you could call it that, they march to a different tune altogether. They're not Marxists, they're not communists, and they're not socialists. They are, of course, autocrats in one sense, and they are, you could call them collectivists, I suppose, in the sense that they want everything in their pocket. But they don't think like communists think. And they're not going to attack us like communists have attacked us in the past. And the useful idiots for these technocrats, politicians are one group for sure. They hate politicians, always have. But going back to the 1930s, they wanted to get rid of the entire political structure of the technate. Take it all away. Send Congress home, tear up the Constitution right there on the spot, and just appoint technocrats to run everything directly. So you have this group that hates government, and they also are expert manipulators. And I believe that they have manipulated the Marxist forces in this country, for instance, like BLM and Antifa and the rest of them, to tear up the social fabric of our country.
Right.
And as long as everybody keeps thinking, oh, we're going to go out and fight them commie pinkos, as long as they do that, the technocrats just smile. And when all is said and done, if they win on the current trajectory they're at, if they win, they will throw all of those people under the bus too.
Yes.
Because it'll be useless to them.
Well, that's one of the key elements of this is depopulation, is it not?
It is. Absolutely is. It's been in the works for a long time. It's nothing new. It's been pretty radical to say it. I mean, if you said that 5 years ago, you're immediately censored no matter what you did, you know?
Yeah.
But it's pretty obvious now.
Well, in their own talking, I mean, you look at Harari now, just talks about, oh, we're at the end of the usefulness of the human, just right out in the open. And you have the rise of automation. You've got, automated trucking and transportation systems coming online. You've got Amazon wanting to replace all the warehouse workers with robots. So there's all that. And then you see governments kind of easing people out of the workforce with universal basic incomes, stimulus money, paying them to stay home and not work. I mean, this is a transition to a post-human economic system, or at least as much as the globalists can pull off.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there are two parts to this great reset. One is, of course, the fourth industrial revolution, where it's just the remaking of society in terms of economics and social structure. The other part of it is transhumanism, which is the transformation of humans themselves. And the idea would be, why would you want to take old humans and put them in this new utopian system that they're building? In their mind, they need to reset the whole thing. So the Great Reset is usually interpreted as being, oh, they're going to reset the world economy or something, or they're going to do some portion of it, like they're going to have a new digital currency or something. But if you look carefully at the World Economic Forum literature, you'll see both transhumanism and the sustainable development are working in the same, they're working in the same channel. They're going to reset the whole world.
Right.
Now, when they got the first needle in the arms with messenger RNA, it was game on for them. Game on. That gives them the ability to modify the human functioning. And I don't want to just say DNA, but even though there's good discussion there, but they're now getting their hands on the autonomy of your body. And this is this is frightening beyond belief. I mean, it really takes you back to Nazi Germany days with all the experiments and stuff they did on people and all the people they killed too.
Absolutely. And where do you think, because you've studied this so much, where do you think they want the human population to end up? And are there certain groups that they want to keep around and other groups that they want to completely eliminate? You know, for example, yeah. You know, depopulation has for a long time focused on Africa, you know, even going back decades.
Yes, yes, it has. You know, that's getting the attention of that is really hard. You know, we already know who's been hit hard, like Africa. But the depopulation movement now is pretty blanketed all over the world. And we see aggregate death rates going up just about in every country. So it's underway. They could do more with selective genocide, using genetic structures of people to, you know, to craft certain viruses to attack people with certain genomes. This has been discussed in literature quite a bit, actually. I don't know if they're doing that yet, but the possibility is there.
Yes.
And we're probably going to be faced with endless boosters because all of these companies like Messenger or Moderna and Pfizer, they have basically an endless conduit of messenger RNA treatments coming out in the future.
Yes.
And they intend to keep boosting with that. The FDA now has basically dropped all of their testing requirements for these new shots. So nobody's really going to know what's going into your arm except for the big farmers that make them.
Well, Patrick, you need to trust the science.
That's right.
Obviously.
That's what they say. Yeah.
I can't believe you don't trust the science without any, the science that is announced without any testing whatsoever, with no evidence whatsoever, no clinical trials, but you're supposed to trust it.
And that would give opportunity, by the way, Mike, to bring up the topic of scientism really quickly here. And this plays underneath both technocracy and transhumanism. Scientism is a worship of science. It was described eloquently in the last century by people like C.S. Lewis and F.A. Hayek, and they viewed it as the most dangerous religious proposition that ever hit the face of the planet. But when God is replaced and science is worshipped, where science can do no wrong, and it needs a priesthood, like, you know, you have a high priest and priests and so on that meter out the knowledge, whatever, to the ignorant masses.
Yes.
You have a setup for not science. It's not real science. It's a metaphysical proposition, and it's pseudoscience. It has no relation to science whatsoever. I discovered this, not by accident, but I discovered this arguing with people over climate change science, global warming.
Yes.
You can't argue with them. The data makes no difference to them. You can argue till the cows come home and give them hard data that is absolutely true, verifiable, and they just won't accept it. They just look away. That's not about the data, it's not about the science. They don't want to know the real science, but they're using science or misusing science to create this religious system.
Absolutely, yeah. I've encountered much the same thing, and even on climate change, NASA has been tracking how rising CO2 levels are greening the planet. With more rainforests, more flowers for pollinators, more grasslands in semi-arid regions. So as CO2 goes up, carbon dioxide turns the planet green. So carbon dioxide is the greening molecule, and yet we're told exactly the opposite. We're told people think that carbon dioxide is poison to plants somehow.
Yes, they're so ignorant. It's just unbelievable. This has been brainwashing. When I was young, we had these new type of farming called hothouses, where they were growing tomatoes inside these huge Quonset huts that had this plastic material on top and the sun come through. And the first thing they did when they built these things, they put CO2 concentrators at the end of it, blew it in with fans.
Right.
And oh man, you should have seen those tomatoes grow. It was amazing. I remember as a kid. And you know what? Not one worker ever died inside of those hot houses. And they were in there all day long, sometimes for 10 hours at a shift. Nobody ever died.
No, CO2 is the limiting factor, actually, in the photosynthesis for the tomato plants. Yeah,
it is. It is.
All right. So just moving on here, we have a few minutes left, but when people visit your website, technocracy.news, you've got a lot of stories and so on. Can you kind of give us an overview of what are people going to find at your site? And, you know, what do you try to cover in terms of articles and podcasts and such?
I keep my topic is limited to technocracy and transhumanism first off, but I curate stories from all around the world. I try and keep it simple for people and just give three a day, but I scour the news and stories and stuff from all over the place. And you know, I got a bunch of sources I look at every day. And the idea is I'm painting a picture. I'm trying to curate a picture for people to understand what technocracy is, not the way I write it, although I do write a lot of articles and stuff and books. But I want people to see what they are saying about themselves. So I carry stories, for instance, from the World Economic Forum directly, and I'll make my own editorial comments at the top of it to give perspective and context.
Yes.
But, you know, I've been doing this now since, gosh, I don't know, years. I've got almost, I think probably 6,000 articles now that have been indexed, categorized. It's a research goldmine. If anybody wants to dig into it, there's tons of stuff there.
Yeah. No, I love your website, and you know that's why we're indexing it, and we're actually republishing some of your stories from time to time. Yeah. You've also got your books. Tell us about the books you've got, or the most recent book in particular.
Yeah, the Technocracy: The Hard Road to World Order was a little bit more to connect the current dots. My first book was a little bit more theoretical and kind of broad brush. The second book kind of connected a lot of dots for people. My current book that I'm writing right now, and I'm just halfway through, I'm serializing it on Substack at patrickwood.substack.com for a small fee, monthly fee. And I'm hoping to have it out 3 or 4 months, though, certainly maybe by Thanksgiving even. But it's going to be relating transhumanism and technocracy together for the first time in a comprehensive way, a comprehensive look. And this is the full court press that we're facing right now in the world. And as I said, these people are prosecuting a war against us. There's just no realization that that's really what it is, or how evil it is. But, you know, if Russia attacked us, if ships showed up, or China, if China attacked us and ships showed up on the Pacific coast and they offloaded, you know, 100,000 troops, well, we would know, yeah, we're being invaded and we better fight back right now. But This has been a stealth invasion so far. It's been brilliant on their part, absolutely brilliant. But it's more effective than anything could ever happen by somebody landing troops on our shores.
Well, you make a really important point. Humanity will resist a kinetic assault or roundup attempt or a Nazi-style, you know, gas chambers, whatever. People will resist that. But if you convince them that they have to shut down their food, their energy, their fertilizer, their freedom, their money, and you make them feel like they are progressive to do these things, then they will assist in their own suicide and they will even smile as they die.
Yes. There will be some people that come out of this, I believe. A prediction made by Steve Bannon several months ago was that the 2024 election cycle, if hopefully we're going to make it to that.
Right.
But the 2024 election cycle, he said the biggest issue on the plate is going to be transhumanism. And that is going to be the issue that is argued and discussed about in that election cycle. We've got a long ways to go, but I'm getting more and more convinced he's right. That you know, people are waking up to the pain of losing friends, losing loved ones, family members and stuff to the stupid shot. And I hear stories every day of people who come out and they repented. They regret that they ever took the shot themselves. And they regret the people they lost took the shot. And a lot of people are wising up. They don't really know what's going on yet, but they're wising up.
Yeah. A lot more people asking questions now. So that's the final question for you today is, as the globalists accelerate their pressure on humanity, it seems like they run the risk of causing a mass awakening because of the speed at which they're doing all of this. It seems like they've accelerated their plans quite a bit. You know, Agenda 2030 has become essentially Agenda 2023 or something.
Right.
Would you agree with that assessment, or what's your observation?
I would. There's a dynamic going here where they are caught a little bit by surprise by the resistance is taking place around the world. I think they're going to see a lot more of it. I think there's going to be, in Europe especially, there's going to be riots in the street like they have never experienced in their history.
Yeah.
That's going to rattle them to the core. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with them, the people in the streets, but they're going to try to crush them. I mean, it could get really, really ugly in Europe. But, you know, they have accelerated their plan. You're absolutely right. We used to be 2030. They're saying, oh, we got to hurry up and do it faster. And they are doing it faster right now. I believe that's the source of all these different attacks. And each one of them, I've looked at each one of these attacks, like financial crisis, food crisis, energy crisis. I have background in all these areas. I look at them and I can demonstrate to myself, and I've spoken about it too publicly, these are all created crises. They're artificial. They're created by men. And it's the same group all across the whole spectrum that's doing this to us. I mean, what does that tell you?
It's engineered.
They're prosecuting a war against us.
Indeed, they are. They're doing it very effectively. And I'm very happy, though, that people like you, Patrick, are on the scene, awakening humanity, informing people. I want to encourage people to visit your website, technocracy.news, and also to check out your two books that are out. Technocracy Rising is the one that I have. What's the other one again?
Well, it's Technocracy, the Hard Road to World Order. And I also have to mention, it's back in print. I co-authored Trilaterals Over Washington with the late Professor Anthony Sutton. And that's available also. And all my books are available on my website, but also they're available, of course, any electronic place you can buy a book, you can get them there too.
Okay. All right. Well, fantastic. Thank you for taking the time to join me, especially kind of late night like this. It's much, much appreciated. And I think people will really enjoy the information you've shared with us here.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Take care. Patrick Wood, thanks for joining us.